Ladies, gentlemen, and everyone in between, it is your boy, Arizona Verse. With me, my dude and co-host, Sir Papa.
Every damn time, sir.
This is the I'm Black, He's Mexican podcast, but first things first, a shocking truth has come to light, Papa. Mm-hmm. And that shocking truth is how niggas with no game react online when they don't get that love and affection and attention reciprocated back to them. Message.
I love me some reciprocation, though.
Now, what I am talking about is there is an Instagram account that got set up by Alexandra Tweeton, and it's called By Felipe, and she set this up to show the shocking truth of being a woman online.
Now, why I gotta be Felipe, then?
Yeah, I don't get why it's By Felipe.
What's wrong with saying By Felicia and keeping it black? Why we gotta evolve this racism? I know.
They flipped
that's
it
they do
on
it,
us, yo. They flipped it.
It makes sense.
But it's an Instagram account. Women share screenshots of times that guys have hollered at them online and they haven't responded back the way the guys wanted to and how the guys act. And the shit is just fucking hilarious. I'm gonna go ahead and share the screen real quick so the people who are watching live can see this. So this motherfucker chimed in as like, "Hello, I'm Stan. Nice to meet you. You're so attractive to me, and I love your cute face." She didn't respond in 21 minutes, so he said, "Stuck up, bitch. I would beat the living shit out of you."
Ooh, that's not good publicity. That's just not good.
Not good, not good. This one, "Hey, thanks, you were too, but I thought about it all night, and I think we're better suited to other people. Nothing personal. Good luck." You know, that's a nice little letdown. Yeah. You know, we hung out, didn't quite work, nothing personal.
Thanks for breaking me off easy. Can I read this? Because this looks like it's gone extreme.
Yeah, now the guy responded back, "No worries, you're not my type either. I don't like fat girls. I also don't like girls who can't hold in their burps, which validates why you're fat. The last text I sent you was intended to be an exit text. Anyways, good luck to you, but not really."
Wow, some of them really got hurt a little bit on that one. Can we say hashtag salty Felipe? Felipe put a little bit too much salt on the goddamn margarita. Motherfucker.
This dude chimed in and said, "Would you like to chat?" The girl responded back and said, "No." And he said, "Why the fuck not? If you weren't interested, then you shouldn't have fucking replied at all. What the fuck?"
Wow.
These dudes is mad, yo. This one, I love this one. The guy's like, "What's your bra size?"
She doesn't respond.
And then she's like, "Stop asking, bye." And he's like, "Fuck you, flat-chested bitch."
It says, "Bye, fat girl." Render. Wow. Like, we can let it go. All right.
Oh, so,
I can't.
I do agree. Go ahead.
I'm just saying, I can't understand what's going to. I mean, all saltiness aside from whatever little fucking wound like that you probably seen those clips with where they put Will Ferrell from Anchorman. It was like, oh my god, that escalated quickly. Like, it, yeah. You know what I'm saying? It goes, "Hey girl, what's happening? You ugly bitch. Why am I even talking to you? You ugly fat bitch." Like,
now I will say this though, and I think you'll agree that this is the one part of like feminism that I do get upset about, and I'm pretty sure some people are tired of hearing me bring this up, but oh well. Now it's the whole thing, and it went back to, we were talking about that last week with the catcalling, mm-hmm. with the chick walking down or whatever. So all those catcalls aren't necessarily guys hollering and being rude, if you will. Some of that is guys, I don't know, being nice or being whatever. But like this one I thought was interesting. This guy said, "Hey, just to let you know, exposing your body like that will draw attention from guys quickly. Guys are animals in this day and age. Your body is the temple of God. Use it wisely. Don't make men lust after it. I don't. I see a person for who they are in their heart." That's nice. It could be him spitting game, but that's nice.
That's a Christian way to speak game. You give me the body of Christ, bitch. But yeah.
Now, this chick responded, first of all, who are you and what are you talking about? And then the caption under it says, who even are you? Bye, Felipe. Still not going to fuck with you. Now, this shouldn't be in the middle of all of this, because I agree with those other chicks about the dudes like, oh, my God, beat your ass or whatever. This is a guy being nice. So now guys can't even fucking be nice. Like, I hate when it goes to this fucking extreme. When it's any male attention, stop it.
See, and this is exactly why. And people don't fucking believe me, because they know how pervy and how, you know, handsy a motherfucker is. But bitches do not believe me when I tell them I will not approach a bitch for that very fucking reason. Because not only do I not like having to be under the umbrella of the quote-unquote word thirsty, but I don't want some dumb shit like that to be when I'm trying to help a bitch. Now, mind you, exactly. Well, would I mind if my helping a bitch fucking gives me some goddamn, you know what I'm saying, some skeet, 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 or, you know what I'm saying, a little wet on the whistle? Of course not. That's a cherry on the cake. Who the fuck don't like cherry on their cake? But the thing is, that whole thing right there is what pushes motherfuckers off, and that's why hoes have to do whole things to get attention, and that's why I use a dumb bitch. And this last bitch was a dumb bitch. I mean, regardless of the dude trying to spit game or not. But damn, man. See? I can't even go Christian on a hoe. Fuck.
Exactly. And that's my whole thing. Like I said, I just go back to the whole, I do believe, and I've stated this before, you know, no one has it easy. You know, I do believe there's a such thing as white privilege. I believe there's a such thing as male privilege. I believe there's a lot of different privileges, if you will, even though I hate using those terms, because once again, they're catch-all terms, just like feminism is that way for me now. It's a catch-all term where you're just throwing a whole bunch of shit in there, naming it one thing. I fucking hate that. But the whole thing comes down to, I do agree that women do have it hard. I'm pretty sure on fucking Instagram and shit, I'm pretty sure niggas is DMing dicks, like, left and right, just dick. But yeah, that's,
you know,
fucked up.
You know what?
Well, also on the other side, you got some dudes who are just nice, and they see a cute chick and they want to genuinely get to know them. It's like, oh, stop, you thirsty motherfucker, or all this sexual harassment, or all this catcalling, like, goddamn.
Can a bitch just
stop fucking with you, bitch?
Can a bitch just be? Like, really?
Can a bitch be? And then when the bitch is alone and bitter and shit, it's like, oh, ain't no good man out here. It's because you're putting all the good men and all the bad men, and you're putting them all in the same fucking category, because you're being too fucking lazy to weed them out yourself. Any attention is automatically negative.
Yo, what's...
I say, bye, Felicia.
Bye, bitch. Bye-bye, bitch. Bye-bye, birdie. Bye-bye, bitch. That's what I say. And I laugh, man. I really fucking laugh. But there's a friend, a lady friend, who, you know what I'm saying, gave up the dang-a-dang. And I laugh because, you know, I usually have that guilt. You know what I'm saying? When I dip my shit in whatever that spit, I usually, oh, well, maybe we should carry this on a little bit longer. And I should, you know, I should maybe court your whore ass. Because, hey, I would like to type it a few more times before it expires. Well, I laugh because it was one of those things to where, you know, I shot the nice guy text afterwards, and I forgot what kind of dumb shit it was that kind of threw for a little loopy spin. But then I laugh because then, for whatever fucking reason, then I see all those lonely posts online of, you know, why doesn't nobody hit me up? And this now I'm like, really, bitch? I'm like, oh no, this is a game. This is a pawn. It's a trap. It's a trap. I gotta get offline right now. Yeah.
Yo, dumb bitches. Fucking cat. Cat Williams said it the best about women who are running around talking about, you know, none of these niggas ain't shit. And the question should be, what's wrong with your pussy that keeps attracting these ain't shit niggas?
Yes.
And it goes the same thing to niggas who keep talking about bitches ain't shit. What the fuck is wrong with your raggedy ass dick that you keep getting these raggedy ass bitches? Maybe it's on you. Oh. That's all I'm saying.
Well...
Step your game up.
Honey attracts bees and bears, do they not? Or some shit like that.
Some shit like that.
Fucking A. And no, sir.
Oh.
No flat zone.
No flat zone. No flats. No flats.
Chill and come low to the people.
It's your boy, Arizona Verse, and once again, with me, my dude and motherfucking co-host, Stole Papa.
What's up?
Oh,
I'm black, of course. You know what I'm talking about? You know?
he's Mexican.
Nah,
but
no, I'm not.
You should already know that. And if you don't, I don't know what the fuck is wrong with you, because this is a podcast about nothing in particular.
Bless
just current events, minus the bullshit. That's all we do, man. And just head over to motherfucking website, ibhmpodcast.com, or don't.
Check out this shit or no.
Or no. But fuck with us. Or no. But you can follow me on my main source of social media fuckery, which is Tumblr. And that can be found at adifferentstateofblack.tumblr.com. And I love Tumblr because you can share nudity on there. Not saying I'm sharing my nudity. I'm not saying there are any dick pics of me out there. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying Tumblr has nudity.
What's happening, Tumblr?
Yeah. Hey, I see you, Tumblr. Now, follow my dude, Soul Papa, on his main source of social media fuckery, which is...
I, too, like nudity. Please follow me at www.soulpapo.tumblr.com. Once again, motherfuckers, anywhere y'all want to go, SOULPAPO. In the words of, I don't know if it was Busta or Timberland. Bitch, tell me what you want to do to me. Oh, no, something else.
Tell me what you want to do.
Something else.
Tell me what you want
to do. I think it was Busta, actually. It was Busta featuring and Janet Jackson.
Yeah, that was the shit. Yo, Busta, yo, real quick, because we are ADHD compatible over here. Fucking Busta Rhymes is one of those artists that I love and respect as an MC. You can always count on a real dope hot single every like couple years, every few years. He'll come up with this banger that'll come out. You know, if he hops on other people's shit.
Can we agree that he kind of rejuvenated his career when he did that Chris Brown song? I forget what it is.
Yeah, the vines and all, man. Yo. But, yeah, you could always count on him when he hops on a guest verse and all that. But, by God, can I not fuck with a Busta Rhymes album? I'm sorry. There's not a good Busta Rhymes album. I fuck with his singles, and I fuck with his guest verses. I'm cool on them albums, though.
You know what's the last album I bought? I don't know if you remember this album. I think it was called Genesis. It was the one that had the song, "Now Break Your Neck, Come On, Break Your Neck."
Yes. And I think that was the one before the last one I bought, because the last one I bought, I want to say it was called, like, Anarchy or something like that.
That's when he cut off his dreads, right?
I just remember he had a joint on there. It was the coldest joint to me, with Jay-Z and motherfucking DMX. And it was called Why We Die. And all they was eating that beat up. Oh,
it's
killing.
Can't remember.
But that was the last fucking Busta Rhymes shit that I bought. And actually, also, because we're ADHD client over here, yo, I put together something, and we ain't even got to go through the whole thing, but I would like to share this with the people. I'm in the process of working on a blog, and this blog is going to be my top 10 favorite hip-hop albums. So I was going through and trying to make a list and make this simple and easy as possible or whatever. I end up coming up with like 30 fucking albums, my 30 favorite hip-hop albums. And I'm gonna just play this in the background in a little second. It's in no particular order, it's just randomly going. And I want to see what Popo thinks about a few of these, because I'm pretty sure. And actually, real quick, do you have a top 2-3 favorite hip hop album?
Favorite?
Something that just stands out.
Like of all time?
Of all time.
Hip hop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll talk hip hop. We'll keep it on the hip hop tip for right now.
Okay, yeah. Should I go through my list as far as top 5 in no sequential order?
Do that.
I think that's the problem, too, because it's so fucking easy to go back to your Illmatics, to fucking Reasonable Doubts. As far as shits that affected me to where, you know, just being, I guess, somewhat, I mean, I can't even say young generation, because some shit stuck, some shit did, some stayed relevant, some didn't. And because I almost feel like, bam, 3 automatically, one goes to Reasonable Doubt, the other one goes to Illmatic. The other one goes to me, Capital Punishment for Big Pun, because I was a Big Pun fan, and he only had about 2 records. But I want to say, as far as in the newer 2000s, Because I think that's how we gotta look at it. I don't think we should count anything from the 90s. Even though we're a good what, 14, almost 15 years deep into the new millennium.
Yeah.
I gotta say, Get Rich or Die Trying, 50 Cent back 03. Mm. I wanna say Lupe Fiasco's first Food and Liquor. Because that shit just came out real strong. You know, even though most of it was from that EP, I don't know if it was Kick Push or what the shit was called. Shit. Those are really the, I think, too. Oh, and as much as I hate fucking Lil Wayne, I gotta say fucking Carter 3 kind of made it because it was the first time a Southern artist like him came out with something that was a theme album that was cohesive, fucking every shit banged. And then I want to say, Kendrick Lamar's first major label, which is still Top Dog without being backing of Interscope, but what was it? Section 80.
Section 80.
I'll say that's three. What was another? Commons B, I think, was the last good Common record. And then, if you mention Common, you kind of got to throw Kanye in there. And I want to say College Dropout, man. That was when I think he was at his Backpacker Supreme. And how many? And the biggest reason why I think that became to me why that shit stuck as a classic because he struggled. And I laugh so much because I know I talk a big thing about, you know, we got to get put on and we need, you know what I'm saying, a good backing. No, this motherfucker had Jay-Z and Dame Dash behind him as a, you know, paying for his production credits, and they didn't believe in his ass. These motherfuckers.
Yeah, just to add to what you're saying, that is a grand truth. That's the reason why Kanye is so egotistical and et cetera the way he is today, because a lot of people don't understand, like, Kanye's credit, or no, actually even before credit, his production game in the game goes back to Jermaine Dupri's 1492 album. Mm. It goes back that far. Kanye had been in the game for a while, and people... He was doing the Ghost production where people were like, I like your beats, but you don't have a name, so I'll buy that beat off of you and claim that it's mine. So that nigga been putting out beats since 1492. Then finally the Blueprint shit blew up or whatever, and he got on in that light, but they still wouldn't fuck with the nigga as a rapper. And then so once he finally got on and dropped College Dropout and people were like, it's a classic, he was like, I've been telling you motherfuckers for like 10 years now.
And what's so fucked up, he played them Jesus Walks and he still didn't.
I love that line. I played them Jesus Walks and they still didn't sign me. Yo, but this is in no particular order, and actually you mentioned one because this is still a work in progress, but you mentioned one. Get Rich or Die Trying I has to go on this list too.
Yeah,
but
I'm gonna say Massacre.
I'm hit you with some controversial shit. Yo, this is a couple of my personal top 30 albums.
Make them past the year 2000 though. You gotta make them past the year 2000. No?
See, well, no, mine is going to be 90 till today. And Ashlyn, this thing is skipping in the wrong particular order. So let me go ahead and refresh this real quick so I can show you a few of these. Bam! Here's one in the top 30, College Dropout. We just mentioned that.
Right. Okay.
Scarface the Fit.
That was the one my block, right?
Ooh, yes.
Show you how the keys live on my block, yeah.
Oh, and Joe Budden is just a personal favorite of mine. Kid Cudi,
Cutters. Yeah.
Man on the Moon 1, and of course, number 2 is on my top 30.
With Man on the Moon 2 was the joint that he had with Cage. It was called...
the one that they sampled, St. Vincent.
Yes. Go back to the... Go back to that Beanie Siegel. Can you go back to that Beanie Siegel. And you know what? I feel so fucking bad because like Beanie Siegel, this is the last Beanie Siegel joint that I bought. And it was so dope because this is when Dame Dash made Dame Dash Music Group. And because fucking Jay-Z was a little hoe, you know what I'm saying? And, or maybe Siegel sold his fucking loyalty by sticking with Dame. But there's a song on here, and I forget the first single. I remember the music video had Method Man in it. And my favorite fucking line off this track is when he's saying, he's like, your handshake ain't matching your smile. Ha ha ha, you niggas foul. And I was like, in the air. This ain't sample to a Collins.
Yes. Beanie Siegel, the Becoming album. For anybody who don't fuck with Siegel like that, I was always a big fan of Beans because Beans was just, he's a Broad Street bully. And I like I don't get too much into gangster rap, but if you a gangsta ass nigga who could spit, I'll fuck with you. And Beanie Siegel was a real ass street dude who could spit. Oh, the Becoming, what was so cold about this album is the sense of urgency, if you will, in it. Because remember, this is around the time when he was on trial for shooting that guy, and he was looking at some serious time, and he wrote this album with the idea in the back of his mind that he was going to jail for a long time. And that nigga, this was a cold ass fucking album. He put it down on this motherfucker. And he just had some cuts, yo. And then also he had a song with Petey Crack. Everybody, go ahead and check this out, called Flatline. Yo, he had a joint called Flatline, and on his verse on Flatline, if you read the lyrics, it sounds eerily close to what he was on trial for. The nigga sounded like he was dry snitching on himself on that record. So I'm just saying, Beanie Siegel, oh, yeah, Becoming. Check that out, and make sure y'all check out his verse on Flatline, because that was it was out there.
Yeah, he really put it out there for people. So.
Yo, and I don't give a fuck right now. Yes, Puff Daddy has a top 30 album on my motherfucking list.
Sir.
No way out.
No way out
is a motherfucking classic, yo.
I don't know. The closest Diddy would ever come to being on a top 30 album.
Classic!
The only way would be if I felt really giving and I wanted to throw Jay-Z's American Gangster album on there. And the only reason Diddy would be on there, because for some fucking reason, he has a production credit as far as the album. I don't fucking get it. I don't know.
I don't know. That might come up later. I don't know. Just real quick, with No Way Out.
There's so many Jay-Z albums on here. It's despicable. They should only be one album per person, too. That's the rules.
Yeah. Well, no. And this is just my personal top 30. So this isn't like these are the hardcore top 30. Because, like, I could tell you right now, there's no Biggie on here. There's no Rakim. There's no Big Daddy Kane. You know, there's a lot of classic hip-hop albums that aren't on here. So these are just my 30 personal favorites. But real quick with the No Way Out, what I will say is that Puff Daddy, I hate to admit it, is the reason why I got into hip-hop the way I did. I was all alternative listener. I was all on my Green Day, Blink-182 shit and all that. The shiny suit era swept me in, and oh, you couldn't tell me shit about Bad Boy. Motherfucking Puff Daddy, motherfucking Mace, yeah. The Lox, Black Rob, and then they also are who they introduced me to DMX, but we'll get to that a little later. But just real quick, the reason why I found it interesting later on, because this album really resonated with me. I thought Puff Daddy, even though the nigga can't rap, I thought his lyrics were on point. And I'm a big LOX fan, and I'm a big Styles P fan, and I'm a big Jadakiss fan. And I later on found out Jadakiss ghost wrote this album for Puff. That's why I was rocking with it. So go back, listen to Puff Daddy's No Way Out. Them is Jadakiss lyrics that you hear Puff spitting. So yeah. I'm just saying, yo. And then through a Kid Named Cudi mixtape. Yeah, I got a couple mixtapes on here.
See that?
That Cutter Joe.
There was on that mixtape you brought up just now, there was a song with one of my favorite producers, and I wouldn't credit him too much as a rapper, but his name's 88 Keys, and apparently he has some kind of tie or some shit with Kanye. But he did a song called and I can't just forget it. But yeah, 88 Keys is the track on there that he pretty much used for his little self-titled, or not self-titled, for his major debut called The Death of Adam. But yeah, 88 Keys, he has a featured track on
there. And then I got some J. Cole, got some Joe Budden, Devin the Dude, Just Trying to Live. Gotta throw a Devin the Dude in there. That one was solid.
Up to that.
Now, I'm going to just give you my top three real quick, and I actually gotta go in this order. Number three for me, DMX is Dark and Hell is Hot. DMX was my favorite motherfucking rapper at the time when he was at the height of his career, and a lot of it was, and I think I brought this up before, but growing up in South Phoenix, growing up in motherfucking gang infested areas, everybody listened to nothing but gangster rap, and that's the reason why it took me so long to get into hip-hop, because the only hip-hop I ever heard was motherfucking DJ Quick and Brother Lynch and Dre and Cube, but just all this hardcore West Coast rap, and I thought that's all rap was. This DMX album, It's Dark and Hell Is Hot, the nigga was rhyming, the nigga was getting gangster, the nigga was getting emotional, the nigga was talking about battling with the devil, his, like, I was like, yo, like, this shit is fucking cold, so I gotta put DMX's It's Dark and Hell Is Hot at my number three.
Yeah.
My number two, which you probably saw, Jay-Z, Reasonable Doubt.
Dean, I can't even front on that, but it's just, yeah. I
mean, Reasonable Doubt. And the coldest thing about Reasonable Doubt is it was an album that was ahead of its time, because it came out and niggas was shitting on it, giving it 3 stars and all that, because they didn't get it, because he was telling a tale of a hustler, but he wasn't bragging about the hustling. He was talking about it from a, I hate doing this shit, I need to do this to get the fuck out of the hood, but I regret every fucking step that I've made through it or whatever. And so it was a gangster ass album, but in a different twist to it, and people didn't realize that until like Jay-Z got a couple albums in, and then they went back and listened to Reasonable Doubt and was like, yo, that shit was a classic. But yeah, Reasonable Doubt was out for a while before niggas started calling it a classic. But I have to give it to the Slim Shady LP. That is my favorite hip hop album of all time. Eminem was my first, outside of DMX, first rapper that really also resonated with me. Because once again, it was the other thing of all the rappers I listened to, which a bunch of gangsters and thugs and drug dealers and robbers. And finally, I got a corny ass white boy who I could resonate with. I was like, oh yeah, I feel you. Yeah, my mom is on pills too. And yeah, I'd smoke and drink and jerk off. And I do all this crazy shit. And yeah, I have this vivid cartoon imagination as well. So I really fuck with this. And then lastly, about this album, I had showing my age, back when the Slim Shady LP was out, yo, there was this thing called cassettes. And for the younger people who are listening to this, a cassette was this tape that you had, and it had a side A with like half the album on it, and it had a side B with like the other half of the album. And I had a cassette player in my 83 Cuddy, and I had the Slim Shady LP. I had dubbed it on a motherfucking tape, and it would play side A, flip over to side B. Well, you know, finish, flip back over to side A. I kid you not, I kept this CD or this cassette in my motherfucking car for like 3-4 months straight before finally one day Moms was in the car with me and she was like, you've been listening to this for like months straight. Can you please take this cassette out and just put something else in? So I have not listened to any album more than the Slim Shady LP. So blue to Eminem.
Yeah, I know.
So I'll officially put all that together and all that. But yeah, check it out on the website, y'all. It's on the IBHMpodcast.com. Click on blog and it randomly goes through 30 album covers that I threw on there. And I'm going to go a little more in depth a little later on it. But yes, sir.
Can't hate on that too much.
One thing you can hate on, though, unfortunately, making the announcement right now, there will be no show next week, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, why is that?
Boo. The reason, though, is your boy Arizona Verse is going on more adventures with white people.
Ah.
And next Sunday, I am participating. Let me share the screen. Your boy's going to be out here. I don't even know where this is at. But your boy's going to be out here getting his ROCK race on, and ROCK stands for the Ridiculous Obstacle Challenge. Next weekend, your boy's going to be out there.
Shit.
Oh, God. Yo, oh, my white folks tip. Yo, white people enjoy life. And I'm like, yo, this is what it's about, yo. Fuck
I
that.
I just want to leave.
Shit. And trying to, fuck that, trying to act tough and keeping it real low. I just want to have fun, yo. But peep this shit real quick. You see this video?
You're going to hear black man screams, and it ain't because they're getting their Jordans stepped on. It is not because of some Jordans or some anything else.
And yo, so basically this thing is a, I think it's a 5K, and you go through 12 larger than life obstacles, including the infamous wrecking ball, the brand new sweeper, jump balls, and the world's largest inflatable water slide. Get ready for the craziest 5K of your life. Now, can you see this video?
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, so it shows a little video real quick, and shows them setting up. And once again, more adventures with white people. And so you take off. Oh, yo, and your boy got a red tutu. I'm going to be out there in the tutu, yo, keeping it thugging. All the pics will be on my Facebook, .com, Arizona Verse. So be my friend. So, yeah, so it's all these. You be hopping through these different things and all that. World's largest inflatable slide. So climb up there. You slide down this thing. You're getting hit with foam. They got these ropes you got to climb on. Fucking monkey bars and shit. You're jumping over these bouncy things. They got this wrecking ball, just like you see on the show Wipeout. You walk across this thing, this ball may hit you, knock you down into the water. You go through the mud. Yo, I am about to act a motherfucking fool, yo.
Yo, I was looking at that thing, and apparently with all the tickets are sold out, you can't just come in all last minute.
No, yo, we signed up for this like months ago.
Motherfucker, because you know what's so hilarious is that I took, all right, because you know how I told you, I worked two jobs. One job's on the weekend, one thing during the week. But my during the week gig is forcing me to work on a Saturday. So because of that, I figure, you know what, I'm going to take off the weekend gig completely. I'm going to have Sunday to relax and not do a damn thing. I would have loved to have gone to this shit. And I saw him like, let's so check it out. Ain't that a motherfucker?
Yo. And we signed up for this joint back when I did the first adventure with white people, when we did Foam Glow. We signed up for this, I think it was like a month or so afterwards. And so that's that. I'm on my adventures with white people tip. Yo, white people be having a motherfucking blast, yo. I'm loving this shit. I'm loving it. Fucking McDonald's style. So, yeah, so... So, yeah, your boy won't be able to do the show next week because I think it starts at, like, noon, or the race starts at noon. So we got to get up there, like, at 9 or 10 because you got to get signed in. You got to get ready, get the prep. And, of course, you know, your boy like taking them flicks. So, you know, I got to get some flicks, especially since, once again, I am keeping it 100% gangsta. With a red tutu on, y'all might get a motherfucking bandana too, yeah. Tupac style, yo. I'm a woo.
I better see mad selfies if that's the case. You gonna ditch on a show. I'm gonna have to make a solo show if that's the case. If that's how you want to do it. Of course, I'm gonna need you to edit it and post. But yes,
yes, sir. So won't be on the show next week. But for any of y'all who are my friends on Facebook, facebook.com/ArizonaVerse, or if you're following me on Instagram @ArizonaVerse, there will be some pictures. I'll probably be doing some live stuff for a while because it's also water, so I'm pretty sure I'm gonna have to get. I wish I had that motherfucking Galaxy S5 because that bitch is waterproof. Yo, but niggas is broke. So.
And and you know what? And I'm too big of an Apple fan to, you know what I'm saying, to give too much credit out to Samsung. But I did see the fucking test where they're comparing the new iPhone. I think it only lasts in the water 2 seconds. Supposedly the Galaxy lasted but 2 minutes. But it is the most secure if you're dropping the water. But you still got to keep that bitch in rice for 2 goddamn days. So I can't give you too much credit. No, sir. Not around here. Yes. Now I'm surprised. And I guess, I mean, it's sad, man, because you're all excited. You're going to go on adventures with white people. And the only thing I'm really excited for, I guess, next week is the fact that Reese's Peanut Butter Cup, man, they're going to start selling it in jars of peanut butter. And it's like, I can finally put Reese's Peanut Butter shit on the cracker. And it's Reese's, man. I don't know. No, it sounds like a fat person thing to be happy about, but yeah. Reese's.
Hey, joy comes in many shapes and sizes and forms and shit. So
now it's coming in 12 ounce jars. I like it a lot. Very, very cool, very swag. But
go ahead.
You know, and I got a pop-up FB. I don't know why the fuck I don't have a FB on here, but they're gonna, and I guess it's just a whatever thing, but you know how they have all the emojis, all the faces, and they have like the one black dude, they have the Arabian, you know what I'm saying, and all the white folks are old, so of course they look really nice and cuddly. They're gonna start making multiracial, diverse emojis to where literally, man, they come in every fucking shade. And I almost wouldn't have been, offended by it if I didn't fucking see a bright yellow one. Like, damn. Like, they're really trying to... I can't tell if it's... I can't even see this being racist, but they got a fucking yellow-ass emoji. I mean, I don't know. Is that racist?
No, Asians should be very upset.
I mean, well, you figure they want love too, right? They figure, we We slave through many coding and HTML. Of course, it must be yellow. I don't fucking know.
Yeah, I just don't want a blackface one. That's one thing that they don't need to keep it diverse. I don't need a black emoji face.
Oh, no. Yeah, no, they have that. Don't you worry about that.
Oh, sir. I'm pretty sure.
There's a black emoji. There's a black emoji. But yeah, nothing big, nothing too scary. I guess. I don't know. So that's going on. Racism. I'm glad we're keeping it alive. Because, you know, I wouldn't know what the fuck I talk about if I couldn't make fun of shit. And I actually did put this in the show notes. I don't know if it fucking matters. I wasn't personally touched by this revolution. But shout out to all my white Republicans out there. You know how they love fucking Reaganomics. It's the 25th anniversary of the Berlin Wall coming down. And
that shit actually is crazy and interesting, too, I think. And once again, this is how my brain works. It works in patterns. And so I find it interesting that we're a quarter of a century later, 25 years later, the Berlin Wall, you know, we're on the anniversary of it coming down. And the Berlin Wall was one of the big icons of the Cold World. A Cold War, and what is going on right now, there is a possible Cold War 2 that's brewing right now between the U.S. and Russia. So I do find that just interesting, coincidental. I don't know.
And it was supposed to be a sign of peace and a sign of unity, and then we can also say, too, that there's been, in the U.S., the least amount of aggressive violence. I forget how they labeled it. But that's come down as far as murders and shit goes, even though we fucking hear all the goddamn time these things and these schools and shootings and whatnot. But it's so funny that violence as a whole has simmered down. It just happens that we're able to publicize and garner attention to these little itty-bitty things that have been going on. But even I just started laughing. Even and then who's to blame? Who's to praise? But also, I guess unemployment. That shit finally came down to 5 point some shit. But we still hate Obama. You know what I'm saying? We still can't stand it.
Yeah, and
he let Ebola in this bitch.
It's still the greatest fucking racist joke I heard during this whole Ebola shit was some dude had said, everyone keeps talking about this virus from Africa, but don't worry, it only has 2 years in office left. Oh, such good racism. Oh, there's good racism, people. Trust me, there's good racism. But the one thing that is fucked up, real quick to bring up the Obama thing, the fucking election is over.
The primaries
is over. The Republicans swept.
Republican shit on people.
So just as a friendly heads up to people, don't expect anything to get better over the next 2 years at all. And I'm not saying it's because Republicans are bad people and only Democrats can make good decisions. I don't even personally believe in the two-party system. But I will just say the one thing that is apparent during Obama's whole reign, the Republicans don't give two fucks about what that man's opinion is or what he's trying to do. Anything he tries to do, they're going to veto and go against it to keep doing these fucking stalemates. And they're going to stalemate his ass the next 2 years. And we'll see what fucking happens because the only thing, and like Neil had brought that up about how when Obama got in office those first 2 years, he was getting some shit done because he had a Democratic House behind him. But then it's been nothing but a Republican House since then. And so, yeah, when you have a fucking government that's divided like that, yeah, that's the reason why shit isn't going well. And I hate to say it, and a lot of black people will probably get mad at me for saying this, but Obama's presidency has been a failure in the sense of things haven't got better since the Bush reign. But it isn't exactly Obama's fault. It's the way that our government works nowadays, and the fucking all the money that, you know, funnels through this, and how you know, the Koch brothers run the Republican Party. That's the reason why they, you know, have these certain opinions and shit. It's the fucking Koch brothers pumps millions upon billions of dollars through the Republican Party and through Fox News. And that's the reason why The shit is fucked up. It's not, no one is really, and it goes back to the oligarchy thing. We're an oligarchy. It's not a democracy. It doesn't, no one gives a fuck what the common man thinks. It's a bunch of wealthy people behind the fucking scenes making all of the fucking decisions. And that's the reason why this gap keeps getting bigger and the middle class is disappearing and the 1% is getting more and more money. It's because the 1% is spending all of the money to keep it like that. People.
Yo, and then and I think we touched on it back when Neil was on the episode about 2-3 episodes back, is that they're gonna make it harder for average motherfuckers, the motherfuckers that ain't in the know, to be able to vote. So there's a reason why they're passing these laws, but you can't vote, so by the time you motherfuckers do get hip to it, motherfuckers gonna be too late. I'm sorry you weren't paying attention, you bitch. That's exactly what it's going to be. And when I saw how badly the, you know, the Republicans kind of swept in, it goes to show we kind of were edging off this little bit of you know, that hope, that change that, you know what I'm saying, that Obama had, you know, emphasized so much in. And because we didn't see these immediate results, because motherfuckers think that they can snap fingers and have things change as they're supposed to be, they gave up. How quickly, fucking, to quote a Bible verse, ye of little faith, how quickly these motherfuckers just don't give a shit.
And the other thing that fucked up too, shouts out to the Young Turks for showing this, they broke down a chart of the age ranges of the people who are voting, and the majority of people who are voting who have time to vote and are actually getting up and going to the polls are people 65 and older.
Fucking A.
And people 65 and older normally vote Republican, and they normally vote conservative, and so that's the reason why this gay marriage shit, and that's the reason why the legalizing of marijuana, and that's the reason why a lot of this shit is taking so fucking long, because the young people aren't getting up and making a difference. It's the old people, and the old people are going to keep their fucking system going. That's the way they like it. So,
and you wonder why they call you bitch.
Over to more youthful shit.
I saw this.
I came across this article. I thought this was real funny. The motherfucking 90s, yo. The 90s were a wonderful time. It was my favorite decade because it was my 7 to 17. So I did a lot of growing up and saw a lot of the world at the age of 17. And one thing I saw that I didn't realize it until looking back now, I think our parents were trying to kill us in the 90s with some of these toys they were letting us play with.
Really quickly, my mama tried to kill me multiple times, of course. But this bitch, I didn't realize this till later on. It wasn't until a school nurse told me, what are you doing? Because I would crack my neck, right? And, you know, and she'd be like, why are you doing it like that? I'm like, oh, my mom, you know, to help me sometimes. She'd get behind me, kind of like a Half Nelson, and she'd twist my neck back and forth, left and right, and ask if I was okay. Turns out this bitch was always trying to fucking slip my throat or whatever, try to snap it fucking Chuck Norris style, which never succeeded. But yeah, parents try to kill us. But yeah, more about these toys, because, you know, we don't want to point blank.
Yes, sir. Fucking, so let's see if you remember any of these toys. This one is the moon shoes.
Oh, so you could jump up. Yeah, you pretty much have a fucking trampoline on your feet. Never had them, but then again, I was 400 pounds as a kid, so I wasn't gonna jump very high.
Yeah, this was a tiny trampoline strapped onto the feet of uncoordinated kids. And, of course, we asked the question, what could possibly go wrong? Yeah, and so this thing was incredibly dangerous, and yeah, hopping on moon shoes. It was basically a bucket with a sandal, and then it was a trampoline to it, and just extremely dangerous. This one's Sky Dancers.
What was that?
You remember? I remember this commercial.
Oh, you just let it rip. They used to pretty much sell those shit to McDonald's things, too, after a while.
Exactly. It was mostly for girls, and you get the little thing, and you pull the little cord back, and they spin their wings around and go flying off in the air. I'm pretty sure a bunch of fucking kids got the shit slapped out of them by these fucking plastic fairies swinging their arms around while they're trying to get enough torque to take flight, like... Yeah, another dangerous motherfucking toy.
You know, what's so funny about that fairy shit is that they actually re-released them with Wonder Woman, with Superman, with Batman. So all those cross-gendered, I'm too confused. I want to play with girl toys, but it's almost too gay. Yeah, they made toys for y'all, too. I thought that shit was hilarious.
This one is one of my favorites. Remember soccer boppers?
Oh, shit. It was pretty much fucking gloves with air in them.
Yeah, there were big fucking beach balls that were like boxing gloves that you put on your hands and you encourage small children to beat the shit out of each other. Whose idea was this?
Yo, what was so funny is that motherfucker did a goddamn kickstand. Not a kickstand. He did a motherfucking cartwheel and right into a fucking uppercut into a motherfucker. Like,
oh,
damn.
That nigga did a gymnast Mike Tyson uppercut. Yo, these I'm niggas like, was developing mixed martial arts back
then. I'm like,
then.
Of course I want to do that to my friends.
This one, the pogo ball, where it essentially was
a pogo stick.
It looks like the planet, yeah, Saturn. It's like a ball, and then you are on the ring, and you just bounce up and down, and yeah.
How the hell you kept on that shit? I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know. Oh, remember this
skip.
One.
Oh, my
skip
God.
It.
Yo, listen, before you, as you play that shit, I made a funny, funny
no,
vine.
Ahead, ahead.
If you go to my vine, that's Soapopo, S-O-U-L. I made a vine. One of these Jews on YouTube called the Fine Bros. They do these kids react videos, and this one they do kids react, elders react, teens react, and they pretty much just bring either old technology or new technology to them, and you know, have them elaborate, trying to figure out what the fuck it is. Anyways, it's just cute little kid. Once again, I have it on my vine where he just like skip it. So if you're in the vine that I made was saying, you know, when you don't know the answer to something, skip it. Peep it out,
fucking awesome. Oh man. And this one, Skip It, was popular. I remember I wanted one of these motherfuckers. But yeah, it was like a ring that went around your foot, and it had a cord and a ball, and you'd had to
jump
hula hoop it with one leg while you use your other leg to hop over it. It would count how many times you did it, and like that ball like hurt it if it hit you in the motherfucking ankle. Like that shit hurt it.
Maybe if we had our Philly correspondent, he'd fucking know that it was a weapon. It was a weapon where it was a chain and like a fucking and like a ball full of spikes that they would use back in medieval times.
I know what you're talking
not
about.
Like a
like a flail?
Maybe. I don't fucking know. They beat Jesus with it for sure. But fucking what's so dope about that shit is, yeah, you can hurt some fucking bodies. But one thing I gotta laugh at, though, and this is kind of also, too, about how we used to kill folks. Oh, God. Such an old to simpler times. Fucking a ball on a goddamn rope and you jumping over it. That shit would keep motherfuckers entertained for hours. And yes. It was a good exercise and good cardio. Because, you know, that's the most gangster thing you can do with some cardio.
And the last one real quick that I'd remember because I wanted these so bad. Do you remember Creepy Crawlers?
Are those
creepy
you throw
motherfucking
the
crawlers.
Wait, are those when you throw out the water, the ones you add water to?
These were the bitches that you got this kit and you got this like Play-Doh and you formed it into whatever the shape was. And then you put the motherfucker in an
oven, easy bake oven
and baked it.
Black Ranger.
Yeah, you could make Power Rangers and shit. I remember I wanted a creepy crawler so fucking bad, but I was on welfare, so
dude,
we couldn't afford it.
I had none of these things. And
yeah,
I
had none of these toys.
So
these were all the toys that
I just
all those
commercial son. That's
yo, these were all the toys that those punk ass kids that grew up with two parents that they got to play with, and I just got to watch and be like, fuck them.
I kid you not. And this takes me back to N64 days, because that's when I was a kid. But I remember, man, I had my white little best friend. Every time I go to his house, that'd be the only way I could play with as seen on TV items, because this motherfucker had his mama on his pinky finger. And oh my God, they used to have Capri Suns. Oh God, I love going to white people's houses and eating up all this shit.
Now, one thing though that I think this is a result of these Caucasian American children who are going around getting all these cool little toys and stuff, and they don't get spankings and they get put on timeout, and then when they're running around and playing too much, you put them on ADHD medicine. You tell them to sit down in the corner and you pump them up with all these Ritalins and all this bullshit, and then they become little white boys who then want to shoot up schools. But then some of them, like this team from Maryland, gets a little too drunk to carry out a school massacre, so it doesn't happen.
Big fan.
For those who don't know what the fuck I'm talking about, Alexander Nymphos was a 16-year-old sophomore at a Baltimore area high school, and he wrote in his journal that he planned to kill his parents as well as students, teachers, and police officer at the George Washington Carver Center. While he would go to the George Washington Carver Center, motherfucking racist little prick. And he was going to do this on Halloween, but instead he was arrested at home on Saturday. Now apparently this motherfucking kid, he had brought a stolen gun to school, but decided not to use it because he was too drunk, and he turned himself into the police the next day. And little dumb fucking white kid. But
one thing I gotta say about that, and back to the school shooting that there was last week that we mentioned, finally a fifth person had finally died. I guess they were in ICU, so they finally fucking croaked. But that's just so fucking hilarious. Like, if he wasn't drunk, the shit that could have popped off, man.
Popped off.
I don't know.
This would have been an episode about gun control.
Yes. You know what? And what's so fucked up is this dumb bullshit. Because there's so many fuckers. I don't mind living in the Wild Wild West. I really don't. Even though I'm not a gun toting motherfucker, I love being able to have the option. As much as I hate options, I love options. I love when I don't got to choose. But yeah, man. I don't know. We ain't gonna pass no gun laws with Republicans controlling.
It's gonna be more guns.
So I don't gotta worry about that.
It's gonna be more guns. It's gonna be more school shootings. It's gonna be more. What the fuck is wrong with Obama?
We got two more years to America. We got now, 2 years to blame some shit.
Now, one other thing going on in America that I personally have an issue with, and I'm glad that someone finally investigated and brought it up, because I've brought it up in passing before, but I guess you could say national coverage is finally being brought to it, and that's the use of rap lyrics in court. Do you think if you put a rapper on trial, you should have the right to use his rhyme book against him in a court of law?
Why the fuck not? I mean, you talk about motherfuckers looking up your goddamn internet history, looking at your goddamn Twitter feeds. I mean, this is your form and your outlet. See, and then this is the thing I think this is how T.I. got off on shit, is the fact that they said that this is his persona, this is the character that he is portraying, in which case he's telling me these motherfuckers are all gold goddamn liars. But even I forget what the statistics show, but, you know, they say 50% of the time when someone says, just kidding, or I'm just playing, 50% of the time that shit is mad true. And I will say it's the same thing with me too, because that's why I use my form of comedy as a cushion, because, you know, the guilt is that strong. But yeah, I mean, that's why I can't put an album, because Lord knows I'll be snitching on myself.
Snitch, snitch, snitch. Now, the question I ask, though, is, let's say Arnold Schwarzenegger flips and kills some people. Should they be able to use Terminator against him in a court of law and, like, go through his action movies and be like, this nigga did a lot of action movies and was doing a lot of violent shit in this entertainment that he was putting out. Maybe this is a sign that he was a violent man.
He didn't write it, though.
That's a good point.
He didn't write that script.
And that's the, like, this is another one of those where, like, it's very shaky, like, because I personally don't think you should be able to use rap lyrics in a court of law, because it is a form of entertainment. Just like I've written screenplays and I've written some where people have died and shit has happened, and I wrote that, but it doesn't mean I'm having thoughts of going out and fucking people up. But there are some whack-ass fucking rappers out there who are literally just doing dumb shit and they're writing about it. And I'm smoking the volcano and licking the dink and I'm alive down.
I'm
grabbing my ankles and I'm pushing my booty open, my lifestyle.
I'm fucking my lifestyle.
And I'm licking the balls and I'm kissing the tip. That's my lifestyle.
Man, still.
So I don't know. Like, I don't know. Like, but shouts out to Noisy, who I think they're a branch of Vice, which I fucking Vice Heavy. But they had a newly published feature titled Why Are Rap Lyrics Being Used as Evidence in Court? And they addressed the increased use of rap lyrics as evidence in court. And the publication cites court cases dating back to the early 90s and also features commentary from those in the hip-hop community.
We can say this started with Pac, man, back when they talked about fucking... Remember when he got caught on that sodomy case? Because supposedly his two homies fucked this bitch in the ass and he didn't have nothing to do with it. But you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah.
And this goes back to Shine. I remember with the whole Puff Daddy, Shine, J-Lo shit, which Puff Daddy bitch ass. Oh, that nigga. Oh, Puff ain't shit. That was when I learned that Puff wasn't shit. You, Puff Daddy, you're in a motherfucking club with yo bitch and J-Lo. One of your artists... Yo bitch gets harassed. Yo artist pulls out a gun to protect yo bitch, and he fires a shot into the air. And yo bitch ass Puff Daddy pays for yo lawyer. You pay for J-Lo's lawyer, and you say, "Sorry, Sean, I know you was protecting my bitch, but you got to figure that out yourself, homie." Bitch ass nigga. That's the definition of bitch assness. That's the reason why he was able to create that word. But
stop snitching too. That's why he put out that stop snitching fucking thing.
Stop snitching.
Remember that shit? Snitch or die? Or was it voter die?
Oh, that nigga's such a product of it. I'm willing to get into it. But fucking Eric Nelson, who is a rap scholar at the University of Richmond. I love that you could be a rap scholar. Like, if I had some money to like quit like work and then go back to school, it'd be to be a rap scholar. That be it. But he says it is pervasive. It is widespread. Lyrics are being used all throughout the criminal justice process. They're being used in indictment hearings. They're being used in actual trials. They're being used in sentence hearings. We know that they're being used in less formal ways. For example, to compile a plea bargain. Killer Mike was also featured in the story. The Run the Jewels lyricist. Make sure y'all check
that
out.
Quick shout out. He Run the Jewels 2 just dropped. I haven't picked that shit up yet. But
yo, I got it on my Google Play.
Number two?
I got to listen.
The second one?
Yeah, the second one. Yeah, and it's pretty solid so far. I haven't been able to finish listening to the whole thing, but shouts out to Ash Anderson. She's been rocking with that shit heavy, and she was like, yo, you got to check this shit out. Yo, but Killer Mike had said that it's the prejudice surrounding hip hop, and he's like, the prejudice is there. Hip hop is just being used as a way to apply the prejudice. It is hip hop today. It was jazz 80 years ago. It was rock and roll when Little Richard was around. The most dangerous thing is not the active participation in a racist system by the judges or the prosecutors or the police who are the front lines of making sure these policies are in place. But the very real and very scary thing is the apathy by the general American public that is the same racial makeup of the leaders of these groups. And I think it's very shaky, because also on the other side of that, it's just rap lyrics coming up in trial. Like, I don't think, like, Johnny Cash had some gangsta ass shit. Johnny Cash was the original OG gangster rapper, if you ask me. And I'm pretty sure they wouldn't have never used any of his lyrics against him. So it's just, I don't know. It's just it's a slippery slope. So if we're gonna use rap lyrics, make sure we use every fucking thing that anybody writes, even joking, even everything. We need to use everything, because if not, then it's just like, oh, it's them niggas again. Let's got another way to put them niggas in jail.
Well, we need to figure out more ways, and we got to keep them in for line. Yeah, that's the thing. No option for parole. Just right in the camp. We gotta figure out a quicker system just to get them on.
Now, I want to bring this up. I had came across this a few weeks ago. I had been following this, and I've been wanting to bring it up on the show, but it's very creepy, so I've been having a hard time just wrapping my brain around this whole thing, and I wanted to present this also to Popo to check out. And you tried to click on the link earlier, and you came across the same thing that I found. I've been following this YouTube channel, and it's the Surveillance Cameraman, and he has videos. It's 8 different videos, and I try to, and actually, do you got the new link up?
Yeah,
the live link one. Okay, so real quick, it's a YouTube video, and it's, I guess, like a social experiment, if you will. And this guy, actually, and we'll play this up. Go to number 7. Do you have it up in the background?
Yeah, number 7. Okay.
Yeah, so click on 7, and we'll play. We're going to do a little live commentary on this bitch, just so we can give you people what's going on. So this guy walks around, and like, so one guy is just standing on his phone. He's talking on his phone, and then he's just having a regular conversation. He realizes somebody is filming him. He's like, what the fuck are you doing? I'm like, okay, get away from me. So the guy with the camera runs away, and then he keeps filming the guy. And the guy's like, okay, well, I'm gonna fucking call the cops on you. And the guy filming is like, I'm just taking a video. And then so he walks up to this guy. This guy is just sitting there eating. He's like, hey, what's up? Got the camera on him. He's like, okay, what's up? And he's like, what the fuck are you doing? Why are you filming me? The guy's just standing there just filming him. And so the guy gets mad.
What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, and so he's getting mad, which is understandable. Now, I'm going to let this play in the background real quick. It's just a bunch of videos, and this guy goes to various places, and he just films people. And as they get mad and upset, he's like, I'm just taking a video. And then they'll keep, like, getting mad, and he'll tell them, but there's cameras everywhere. There's cameras everywhere. And he just keeps filming people. There's a couple of them where he's walked into classrooms, and he'll just walk in a classroom and start filming people.
Of course they got a drunk Indian on there too.
Oh yeah, you gotta find a drunk Indian. And the guy was talking some deep shit, and then he started following him, and the dude was like, hey man, don't be following me unless you got the weapons, man. And then, so he's just going around filming people, and people are just going nuts. Like, what? Why are you filming? And the guy's point is there's cameras everywhere. And so my take on it, I don't know if I'm intrigued or disturbed by this video series. It's a social experiment. And the guy does have a point. Cameras are everywhere. So why do we care? Do we care because it's one person with the camera and we don't know what they're doing? Because people don't give a fuck that the NSA is filming everything. Google's filming this. Like, they got everything. Like, they're always watching us. They're always filming us. But why is it we get upset when this one guy is doing it? I'm disturbed and intrigued. And the thing that's interesting, I had put the YouTube link in the show notes, and I found out this morning his YouTube channel got pulled. So he had to move everything over to this LiveLeak.com website. And just look it up, surveillance cameraman. And it's creepy, but he has a point. There's cameras everywhere. So why are we mad when he's doing it?
I think it's because we can see it. I mean, it's not right that all the shit goes on in the background. But
it's out of sight, out of mind.
Out of sight, out of mind, and people don't think about it. So it's almost as if it's bad. It's almost as if we're condoning that we'd rather not know about this shit because, hey, I see you. I have the ability to stop you, supposedly. But, yep. I mean,
he's doing the same thing the U.S. government, the NSA, and the police, and everybody does. He's doing the same exact fucking thing, but it's because this is in sight and in mind, and it's right there that we get upset. But I don't know. And something else I don't know about.
All I know is, too, every single time I stop somewhere, I'm at a fucking red light, I'm going onto the freeway, off of the freeway, I always look at the fucking camera, and I try not to look at it directly as if it fucking matters, but I just see it, and I just hope that it can fucking sense it. I'm like, you motherfucker. And I can't help but think every single, because I notice the cameras right off everywhere I go, especially if I'm a set up a facility, I'm sent somewhere to eat, and I gotta get my little corner seat, and I'm kind of, man, I'm taking surveillance of the fucking area. I'm just like, you motherfucker, and I just count them all down, just know how fucked I am.
And what I do just before I get on the freeway, I look directly into the camera and I say, little silly ass bitch, I ain't fucking with you. That's what I say. Now video won't shut the fuck up. I'm trying to, I got this, what we're talking about or going into, ever so smoothly, like we do with every segment,
real smooth, real is butter-like.
Just real smooth. Like, this goddamn video won't shut the fuck up.
Yo,
all right, I gotta
stop
ask
this. Too, because I forget if we had it on this video or not, But there is also a story, and actually I think I might have found it too just early on. I don't have a link for it, but they had did another little social experiment with people and kids, asking them, you know.
Oh, we're going to get to that a little later on.
Oh, so that is on this thing. Is that where it's
at? That is all here. Yeah, okay. Yeah. We'll get to that a little later on. No, you good. You good.
But I'm glad. I was just sure where I saw it. Experiments, cameras, questions. What would you do? I don't know. I'm trying to get this shit more swiftly. Can we talk about some unmentionable things? About some naughty touching? Do I move to that story
now, first? What do you want to do? Yeah, that's where I want to take it to next. Lena Dunham. Are you familiar with her?
My nigga. Yes. Lena Dunham, which I want to tell you. You know how I be hating, right?
Do your thistle. All right.
You know how I be hating, right? Everybody?
Yes.
Everybody know how I be hating? Okay.
Hate.
Hate is so strong. It's like force. It's strong with this one. Anyway. Hated on her because at the age of 22, this bitch wrote something, got Judd Apatow's attention from a little short film called Tiny. I think it was called Tiny House or Tiny. Anyway, she got Judd Apatow, who's one of the coolest Jews in the industry right now, got herself an HBO show known by girls. Right now, it's currently on the 4th season, which makes it perfect of all this attention that she's getting right now because they're just about to debut the 4th season. This bitch has wrote a fucking memoir. This bitch is only 24, 25 years old. Has a goddamn book on her life. Her long, long life that she's been living. And,
So experience in age.
Yeah, obviously full of vigor, full of knowledge. And they took a snippet out of this fucking book and they hounded and got on her ass, which, once again, I always just believe all publicity is good publicity. And what ended up happening?
And, yeah, and so for the people out there who don't know what's going on.
One last time, I'm sorry. This bitch writes, produces, and stars in her own goddamn show. If that ain't a fucking film, if that ain't a writer, director, cunt, whore for attention, I don't know what it is. And I love it. I would do it too. All right, but go back to it.
M. Night Shyamalan, anybody?
He didn't star in this shit.
Yo, that nigga was getting crazy for a while. Like, Signs, that nigga was the director, the writer. He was in it, like, what's a twist? But, for those who don't know, the controversy began when a series of right-leaning politics sites accused Dunningham in one of the scenes, which describes a childhood scene in her book, of where it's being taken that she sexually molested her little sister. Now, according to child psychologists who have spoken out, they say that based on Dunningham's portrayal, the incident appears innocent, not abuse or molestation, but a lot of people are still questioning it. I'm trying to find
in the main link, it shows some of the tweets. It should be near the bottom before dedications. It shows about some of the things that, I mean, they're accusing her, mind you, once again, Twitter being a place where you can voice your opinion, definitely also a fucking place where they can pull up in fucking court because she's admitting of what she's doing, but she's calling something else. We're seeing green, the bitch is telling us that it's yellow, which, you know, every side has two stories, but motherfucker.
And I was trying to find the exact quote, but I can't find it. But basically what happened, she was 7 and her little sister was 1. And she talks about looking at her little 1-year-old daughter or sister's vagina, spreading the lips apart, looking at it.
She also said she'd make me kiss for 5 seconds or some shit.
Yeah, she would offer her candy if she would kiss her on the lips
she would
for more than 5 seconds.
To do things and she'd put on her favorite program so she could lay in her lap. Like, if that ain't fucking pedophilia, my nigga. I don't know.
Yeah. And then they would share the same bed until they were 17 and 11, which is understandable. It's if you come up poor, like, it's understandable.
That's
like to me. Because there's nowhere else. Like, there's
floor? Want us on the floor? No, I'd rather lay on the bed.
Yeah.
Do you mind being finger-banged?
So
for
so like I get it or whatever, but with the stuff that she was doing to the girl when she was younger, it is kind of creepy that they continue to like share a bed for like 10 years, and it's like I wonder what else happened during
that
situation.
You think about it at night, you have dreams, and you can't help but do the things to your pillow. You know what I'm saying? You can't help those things. So I could just imagine
all. all I know is once I hit puberty and I learned what masturbation was, I never looked back. And so if I'm in, I don't know how women handle their puberty, but if I'm already sexually roused up and I don't know. It's I don't know. Yeah. Like, as the child psychologist said, there's nothing creepy.
No.
But I asked the question, if let's flip it around and let's say this was Glenn Beck. Let's say Glenn Beck came out with a book and he talked about, you know, when he was seven, his little one-year-old brother, he used to take his pee-pee out and touch it and look at it and kiss his brother on the lap and rub up against him and all this shit. Like, would people be flipping out? Or let's take it even further. What if it was somebody else, a male, who was touching his one-year-old little sister's vagina? Is it just not creepy because it's two girls, or like where's the line?
They put the whole basis in the fact that they were young. It was experimentation. Experimentation is still abuse, nonetheless, because a fucking pedophile can be curious to see what that ass do or how it looked like, and you know what I'm saying. And that you're doing what you know what's so funny too is the fact that, and this goes to show, I don't believe, you know, we're born. I mean, I guess you could say we're born in certain ways and certain defects, and you know, wiring is crossed, but. This little sister grew up to be a dyke. I mean, I don't know how old she is now. She's gay. And it was also on Twitter, she went on saying about how she's a proud lesbian or some bullshit. But you figure, okay, well, obviously you were fucking abused. You were, you know, programmed to enjoy or to be curious or to find some sort of fascination or some sort of excitement through this fondling and touching. And can we say this could have been a reason for it? This could have been the push down the goddamn slide?
And that's a good example, and that's another conversation that we need to be able to have more of, but we can't really seem to have that conversation because then it gets that slippery slope, if you will. But I do believe that there are people who are born gay. I do believe that people are born in the wrong body. And
well, this bitch
again,
got a fucking push start.
That's where I'm going. And so I do believe that gay people are born, or that the majority of gay people are born that way. But I do also believe that some people, their experiences over the course of their life leads them in that direction. I have several gay people that I've met and been friends with over the years, women in particular, who are the men in their lesbian relationship.
They're the butch/dyke.
Yeah, and they've been beat up by men in their past, and that's one of the things that, like, I wonder is, like, okay, you're a chick, and you're in a relationship with a guy, and then that guy beats you up, and you never want to be in that position again of being that helpless, so then you become the masculine one in the lesbian relationship to ensure that never happens again. Like, I don't know, there's a lot of layers to it, but I do agree with you that if her little sister is gay now, this is something that should be part of that conversation. Was part of it Lena fucking touching inappropriately on her? Like, I don't know. I have another friend that I knew back in the day. He was a cool dude. He was socially awkward, fucked up teeth, didn't have no game or anything like that. And his first sexual experience was some dude that he was friends with sucked him off. And then he was like, and this was like, he was like 17 or whatever. And he's like, oh, I think I'm gay. And it was like, well, are you gay or are you just happy that somebody finally put their mouth on your thing? Like.
This is why a lot of times when you see those really, and Lord forgive me because I know I'm not pretty and I know I'm hideous myself, but this is why I can say this. When you see them, just them ugly, pudgy bitches that, you know what I'm saying, that are hardcore gay. And I mean, you're going to get the love where you can get the love. And some stick to that because they figure if it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know what I mean?
So I think there's, and that's my whole thing with the whole gay thing. I think there's a lot more layers to it. There's some of it where they're born like that, and some of them were chemically, they're off in the sense of the transgender thing. They're born and they're like, nah, this isn't right. And then you have some people who their life experiences lead them that way. And then you have some who are, that's the only attention that they're getting. And so there's multiple layers to it. And so people shouldn't get upset when any of those avenues are explored because there's layers to it. just like violence within the black community. You know, there's layers to it. And that's the reason why, you know, when people bring up the Chicago thing and, oh, look at all these niggas shooting niggas. And it's like, yeah, those are niggas shooting niggas. You said that correctly. Black people aren't going around shooting one another like that. Those are niggas. And I have separated myself from niggas, so I don't get offended when people talk about niggas.
Speaking of niggas, they said that the Michael Brown had marijuana in the system, so he's guilty for getting shot.
And I'm glad you brought him up, because I don't know if we did. We talk the autopsy thing about when it came out about the sit shots. Okay, real quick, I just have to bring this up because do you think I'm gonna present the case to the people, because we didn't mention this when this had came up. But the Michael Brown autopsy had came back, and I'm going to try to see if I could bring up the exact report so I could have the, as I dive into this, I want to make sure I got my shit in front of me properly. So go ahead and load this up, because this bitch is live, motherfucker. Oh, no, no. Oh, no, I'm just clowning. So, all right. So, shouts out to... and the Ferguson motherfucking protest is still going on. Shouts out to the people out there.
We ain't got shit else to do.
No, salute to the motherfuckers who are standing up for something. All you social fucking activists on social media who, when the shit first happened, you guys were talking about it. But as soon as the BET Awards came out, you niggas ain't got nothing to say about fucking Ferguson anymore. Shouts out to y'all niggas. But basically, this report came out, and I'm trying to see if it shows where. Anyway, the first shot hit him in the hand. So it is evident, and they said it was at close range. So it is evidence that the first shot, Michael Brown, was close to the cop. Now, the question, though, is because how it was portrayed in the media when it first came, I was like, oh, he got shot in his hand. That's evidence that he was going for the gun. Was that evidence that he was going for the gun, or could that also be evidence of when, you know, somebody brings up a gun, what is the human reaction? Put your hands up. That's your human reaction. So what if the, you know, they got into an argument, whatever the fuck happened, and when the cop pulled out his gun, the kid put his hand up, and that's how he got shot in his hand. So anyway, that was the first shot. The second shot, which they mysteriously didn't want to talk about how far away it is, even though witnesses say that they were 20, 30 feet apart from each other, went into the top of his head. And that was the kill shot. And they tried to say that that was evidence that he was lunging at the guy. Now, the other evidence that they're trying to say, the reason why that's evidence that he was lunging at the guy, is because the sixth and final shot, remember I said the second shot was the fatal shot, the sixth shot hit him like in his arm or somewhere right in this area, which proved that, or hit, shot him somewhere in the forearm, which was evidence that his arms weren't up in the air at the time of the sixth shot. Now, Arizona Verse, I put patterns together. This is what I do. This is how my mind works, people. Let's look a little deeper into this, because it's a bit of bullshit. Okay, so first, the first shot, you want to bring up this, the distance, and it hit him in the hand. The second shot at the top, the base of the head, they won't say how far away it was, but they say that's evidence that he was lunging. If he was 20 feet away, is that lunging? If you're 20 to 30 feet away from me and you have your head down and you're lunging,
Superman don't jumps I have, that far.
Yo, don't I have, and we all know niggas jump like Superman, so you have a point.
You're trying to pull a Michael Jordan, but, maybe?
Motherfucking, you had 20 to 30 feet to dodge that. Why was the only thing that shot shoot him directly in the head? But the other thing I thought was funny when the shit came out about the sit shot in the forearm, that was evidence that his hands weren't up. You guys stated that the second shot, which at that time, who what the witnesses say, his hands were up in there, he got shot in his head and he got killed. Four more shots later, I'm pretty sure the dead body is falling, and there's no telling where the fuck these bullets are going after that. So, no, it's still not evidence of shit. It just shows that the nigga got shot in his hand at close range, and then whatever happened, they got distances away from each other. Witnesses say that Michael Brown had his hands up, and then the kid got shot in the fucking head and died, and four shot, and he got shot four more fucking times after he was dead. So, I don't know. It's still a bunch of bullshit, but ladies and gentlemen, I will tell you this right now. That cop isn't going to jail. This is similar to the George Zimmerman thing. When you take this long to arrest anybody, There's no intentions to arrest the man. They're trying to see if there's a case to build a trial for it. Regardless of if they have a trial or not, that man is not going to jail. So another black child killed in the streets and whatever. So
Zimmerman. Just how I hope that one day we can laugh at this. And I'm laughing for sure. Like, you know, remember how Dave Chappelle would be like, Kobe! You know what I'm saying? He'd be like, yeah, kind of the fucking thing. He'd be like, Zimmerman!
I got away, nigga. So it's just, it's fucked up. But it's the reality of the matter of the society that we live in today. People are scared of black people, to be 100% honest. You see a nigga, you feel threatened. You feel that they're up to violence or they're up to no good.
Automatic.
And so then when a cop attacks a black person, you're like, oh, yeah, that black. Yeah, you know, black people are violent. You've seen the rap videos. You've seen Love and Hip Hop. You've seen these reality shows. And that's the danger, in my opinion. And this is the end of it. That is the last thing I'll say about it. But this is the danger of having black entertainment run by non-black people. Not that I'm turning into a racism thing or anything like that. But when you have a group of people who have an entertainment base out there and they're not in control of that entertainment base, and then that black entertainment is being put out as all black people being violent and over-aggressive, and you should just be scared of them and all that because they're coming right at you and all that, there's a reason why white people and cops, when they come across these black people, are fucking terrified, because they only see the black people on TV. And they only hear the rap lyrics, and they only see that bullshit. So, black people, get control of the media. You're the black media. Get control of black entertainment, and this shit will stop happening. And until then, expect niggas to keep getting slammed in the motherfucking streets.
Bang, bang. If ever a fucking bang, bang. And if we can, really quickly.
Oh,
if we can get to some bang, bang.
Bang,
ISIS,
bang,
we talk a good ISIS thing in a minute. I love, and you talk about good marketing, you talk about, you know, good placement and know your audience. They're recruiting like a motherfucker, obviously. And I don't know if we touched on it last week or 2 weeks prior, but they got like two little white girls up in Denver. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
that was
I heard
trying to
about
get out
that.
there, that they stopped and they tracked because they was trying to join. And God, oh my God. Like I said, this is why I want a cult. And this is why I want to, you know, Jim Jones in a positive outlook.
Church of Aquarius.
Please.
People, join.
Join.
We're trying to do this.
Join the church. Join
Yo,
the body.
Yo, because every cult, or there, cults could be good as long as you don't kill people and as long as the leader don't start fucking the women. Every cult that goes bad is because either people start doing suicide missions or people, or the leader starts fucking the congregation.
How can you not, though?
Don't worry about that.
How can you not?
There's no... There's no intentions right now of me and Popo fucking the congregation, people. So don't be scared of joining the Church of Aquarius. There's not a requirement of penis insertion.
No,
so don't
I mean,
worry about that.
I do want two wives.
Come join.
At least two wives. But yeah, I mean, no, I ain't going free willy off free willy nilly. But one thing I got to say, and once again, it's about carrying on the mission. They got this one dude, and I sent you out the link, some fucking British jihadist. Who is convicted for gay hate crimes. Now, you talk about having a mission and doing it and said, this motherfucker is doing it. And I can't help but applaud the dedication and the actual fucking, and the accomplishment that the fucking dude, as extremist and as retarded and as hate build as it is, they're taking their mission statement and they're fucking doing it. And it almost sounds like a weird push for me to bring up Russell Simmons' Do You, which I think came out back in 07-08. Actually, just...
That was a bomb-ass book, yo. I read that shit. That was a bomb-ass book.
It was donated to me, and I've been kind of... I was just reading... one of the things that
Read it from front to back. Yeah. Let me just interject with that. Front to back. That was the start of my mental evolution. I read that book. And then I was like, oh, shit. And it opened my eyes to a lot of shit. So, shouts out to Russell Simmons.
And this was brought up, yo, fucking Trap Lord, fucking interjected really quickly. I feel like correspondent. And he read my mind. Why have a cult if you can't bang the brides? Honestly.
Yo!
I mean, how else are you going to know me if I can enter the... You know what I'm saying?
Look, because we forgot about Trav too, because Trav was also going to be the co-leader of the cult.
He's going to definitely be back.
Real quick, y'all, fucking it up. We're supposed to tell the women to join. We ain't trying to bang them, and then once they get in, then
I like to be upfront about that. I'm sorry. It's best that you know my intention, so we can make this easier, more swiftly. Let's just get this easier, more swiftly.
And let me just say this, because I am married, so I'm not trying to find another woman. I'm trying to find a wife for my wife. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do in the Church of Aquarius. That's what I'm looking for. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
I see you, Skips. I see you.
Yeah. We're supposed to be a village. You know what I'm saying? It's the village raises the... How does it go? It takes a village to...
takes a village to raise a child.
Yeah.
So, yo, and I got two kids. I'm just saying, yo. two kids, two wives. I'm just saying. Yo,
I mean,
just put that out.
I wouldn't even call them concubines. Just, you all my loves.
But real quick, back to ISIS. I got to say this, though. And dear U.S. government, don't come knocking down my door. I'm just a podcaster. Don't take this literal.
I'm too broke to travel. All right? Let the record
too
be.
Fucking broke to travel. But... yo, I would love to have an ISIS representative reach out to me so I can hear what this sales pitch that they're giving to people. Because, goddamn, niggas is coming from around the world to get down with this ISIS shit. I need to know what they talking about over there.
One of the things that I saw, and it was kind of like a knockoff of Grand Theft Auto, there's a fucking video game that's about joining ISIS. I'm guessing it's strictly online. Because,
my God.
Because you know they're not going to publish that shit. Even though Xbox is pushing real hard with that.
Wait, I don't even know how to Google that. I was about to Google that shit. Join ISIS. I was like, whoa, wait, no. Let me know. Send me a link if y'all come across it. I'm not Googling that shit.
Yo, the fact that they're tracking shit like that lets you know how much of a threat this is. And, I mean, come on now. You're talking about things. I mean, kind of like Russian sleeper cells. I mean, they're activating and people are looking for this. Honestly, this doesn't sound really dumb, but the whole reason, too, why I kind of looked for God, you know, before I turned 21, is the fact that I didn't have family, so to speak. You know what I mean? I needed longing. I needed structure. I needed something to belong to. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, people run to the church when there ain't nothing around. Now, when you already have your preconceived notions of the church and you're becoming close-minded to that, so you can't allow that light which is in us to be amplified by light of others, then you're going to go darker routes. And that's why I feel where that kind of geared into, and that's what's going to gravitate and pull. I mean, we all have a void that we try to fill. We can either fill that shit with video games, we can fill that shit with drugs, we can fill it with meaningless sex, however it is that people are going to fill this shit, they're going to fill it one way or another. And when there's someone with open arms, you know what I'm saying? That's what's going to end up happening.
Yo, check your Facebook real quick.
Okay. Jay Electronica, what's up with that?
Yo, Trav said he's down, and I said, because in order... because we got to create the Trinity for the Church of Aquarius. So first off, all praise Jay Electronica and praise Badu's bots. Those are two of the fucking pantheons within the Church of Aquarius. So we need a third one. Go to the house with the man with the pitcher of water, Jay Electronica. And the water is the... the water is the juice from Badu's box.
Oh, God.
Come get baptized.
Jesus did say, you know what I'm saying, for those to be born again will not be of the flesh, but of the living, breathing water.
It will be of Badu's box, yo. Because I'm telling you, niggas, yo, the Church of Aquarius is in Badu's box. As Common and all the rest of these niggas. Like,
you think
niggas don't come back out the same. You got to get baptized in Badu's box.
So are we all going to impregnate Miss Badu and have Badu babies?
Yeah, Badu is, she's the ISIS of, and not the ISIS as Americans today know it, but she's the goddess ISIS of the Church of Aquarius. It's Badu's bots, yo. So, all praise it. Now, moving on to other body parts. As Papo brought up earlier, there's an interesting social experiment, if you will, that came up, and adults and children were both asked what they would change about their body. And adults and children responded rather differently. this motherfucking webpage is not available, yo.
One of the things, and I'll go into talking about that when that shit loads up. We all have our defects, and being of the age that we are, we've lived with these quote-unquote defects. We live with these things that we don't like. We've lived with these things that we've been made fun of. Usually, if you ask somebody, they're going to tell you the first thing that comes up. And I started laughing because there's one bitch with the goddamn Tyra Banks forehead. And when they asked her, you know, what would you change about yourself? First thing, my forehead.
Yeah, you see it.
It's slightly bigger. I'm like, yeah, bitch, that's a goddamn movie screen. See, and that's a fucked up attitude and sort of frame of thinking that we have because we roast or we've been roasted. And that shit comes to mind. But yeah, all other ones too. There's a fucking chink on there. Talked about making her eyes bigger, which I laugh. And I forget, are Japanese called nips?
No, Japs.
Japs?
Japs.
What are nips?
Nips. I've never heard nips.
Because I was reading my homegirl, God bless her heart, she put me on this graphic novel called Ronin.
And it was, Ronin.
Yeah, not the 47 Ronin, but just Ronin, I guess, which means a masterless samurai. Anyways. And there's a scene, you can tell the shit was written in the 80s, because they're like going against a Black Panther in a fucking Nazi fucking party. And anyway, so there's this chink. I just would assume it was a chink, but he's Japanese, I'm guessing. I don't know. But they call him a chink, and he said, and then then some motherfucker said, no, he's a nip. And then later on in the fucking thing, the samurai himself says, nip, like as if that's what I am. I'm a nip. I don't know what the fuck. I should Google it. I don't know.
That's some old school racism right there.
It is some old school racism. Just like fucking how you call an Indian a goddamn redskin. Like, who the fuck? Who the hell?
Speaking of which,
Cardinals gonna play them today. And because we beat that ass Sunday with the Cowboys, it's only right if we beat the Redskins. Horrible.
Motherfucking Cardinals is Nips. Shouts out to motherfucking Philly correspondent. Nips are generally Asians or whatever. So
that's just a generic way.
I had never heard Nip. That's one racial slur I need to add to the rest of my shit. Because it's not racist when you hate everybody. You can't be racist when you hate everybody. I'm putting that out there. So
and that's been my tagline in life.
Shouts out to South Park. They taught me a valuable lesson. But back to the kid adult thing. The difference between the answers when they asked, you know, the kids and the adults what they would change about their body. The difference between the answers given by adults and children is vast, revealing the level of self-doubt we learn to feel about ourselves as we grow up. Some dude said that he wished he had a less puffy face. The Asian chick, said that she wished she had bigger eyes and all that. But then when they asked children, it said the children look stumped when faced with the question and are hard for us to find anything they want to alter about themselves. A lot of them said, you know, went through but then this one girl said she'd have a mermaid tail. This other girl said that she wouldn't change anything. She likes her body. And a lot of kids were like, oh, I would like wings or to be able to teleport or to have teeth like a shark so I can eat a lot. And so it's just funny how us as adults, we're like, oh, I'm so ugly and I'm this and I'm that and I would do this, I would take that. But kids are like, I'm fucking awesome. Like skeet skeet on a hater. And so I bring it up all the time. It's society. It's the self-doubt comes from your subconscious, and your subconscious is being altered by what you consume, the entertainment that you bring in. Just like there's a nutrition diet, the shit that you eat makes you feel a certain way. The shit that you listen to and watch and suck in, all that shit affects you. And there's, you know, for every I'm Black, He's Mexican podcast, you should also listen to some Neil deGrasse Tyson or something. You need the balance. You need a little bit of both.
Let me fill you in. Let me fill you in only. And of course, my buddy gets seconds or first. And see, you know what I'm saying? He'd be on that.
Now, if you join the Church of Aquarius, you get a little bit of all of that. We got ignorance. We got righteous ratchetness. That's what we bring in the Church of Aquarius. Is righteous ratchetness.
I told you, right? Well, and this is what's making my first album gonna be so hard, difficult, because I'm trying to make ratchet gospel music. I need help.
And that's going to be our church music that we're going to be playing. Those are going to be the hymns that we sing. So I'm just saying, we're working on something here, people. Be part of it now, because 2,000 years later, when it's a thing, you'll be able to look down from the cosmos and be like, yeah, I had a part of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Christmas.
And speaking of not changing bodies and wanting a part of that, oh, I think it's that time, Papa.
Turn on the fires. Bitches, get in line. Don't feed them, but get ready because we gotta give to the God. The God. And then, of course, his little heathens that he has under them.
To make it's them for, live.
What time is it, peoples?
Forever. And ever.
Get it out. Ooh, just a little.
I think it's time for
dedication. Please swallow it all.
Yes, sir, ladies and gentlemen. This is the part of the episode when we smooth it down.
Just, you know what I'm saying, get real close and
get real close to the mic.
This is intimate.
I
want you to dig this. I want you to feel this and every bit of pleasure.
I just want
and
you
pain.
To pay attention and just look. And
look into my creepy uncle glasses and just tell me you love
me. Tell me you love me.
Bitch, who do you love? Alright.
I'm back on my greedy tip. I got three dedications.
Whoa,
Joe.
Sir. Yo,
I couldn't help myself. It was one, and then the one only made sense for it to be two, and then next thing I knew it was three, and I was like, oh my god.
Oh gosh.
So the fire is ready. Ready.
Oh shit. Okay.
So how do you want to do this? How many you got? Two of mine go together.
Okay. Well, and I guess I have to see what your two is if you want to do in slots.
So
or two.
I'll throw my two out first.
Okay, because I saw a picture of one, which I'm not even mad at, because I actually had and I'll mention this later. I had a trainer who looked just like her, but without the locks. Anyways, since you picked one of your peoples, I was gonna pick one of my peoples. But you got three. Can I ask you this?
So,
are they all of different races, or are they all the same?
It has to be two different races. Yeah. So two of them grouped together. So I'll knock those two out the way, and then I'll pass it to you. And then I got one more, and the one more has a story, and that's the reason why she's a dedication. So I'm going to throw this out real quick. My first two dedications are from a show that I'm back into. I took a hiatus from because the third season of it, as much as I watched every second of it, in the first half of the fourth season, as much as I watched every second of it, was completely fucking horrible. But as the second half of the fourth, because I don't have live TV. I watch everything on Hulu and Netflix and WWE Network. So I watch nothing live. But currently live, it's on the fifth season. And you motherfuckers better not spoil shit out there. Don't bring the shit to me.
I don't
want to know what's happening.
Don't go online. Don't look at shit. All I can tell.
That's what. Yeah, on Sundays I stay offline Sundays and Mondays because I know the spoilers is out there.
Like, why would you take time? Focus on the goddamn show. Why the fuck are you gonna be turning over? Why?
But the two women I'm talking about are from the show The Walking Dead.
I have one love on that show. One love. And if you pick this bitch, I will be so pissed. Okay.
I got two loves. And my first love, I got to pass it over to, it's funny because I don't know how to pronounce her real name. But her name on the show, which is also an interesting name, is motherfucking Michonne, yo. Michonne. My first dedication goes to, and her real name is, let me run this back, Dania Grant. I don't know. Danai, last name Grira, and she is Michonne from The Walking Dead.
If you want to spell it out in Swahili, it's
whoop, whoop. Yeah, that's how you say it. Fuck it. But no, she's just fucking bad. She's awesome. And the part of Walking Dead I'm on is when they finally start giving you her backstory. Because she was a very mysterious character for a very long time on the show. But they're starting to give her backstory, and it's very interesting.
Wait,
and it's made me fall in love.
Wait, so you've heard of backstory, right? Because I think I know.
Well, no, I don't want to spoil it for the people who might be even not that far with Walking Dead.
Okay.
But wait, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, and this might be throwing it, and I don't know if it is. Now you can just deny it if it's a spoiler, but was she married? Is that what her thing was?
Yeah. Well, that's part of it. Okay. So yeah, that's not too much of a spoiler. spoiler, okay. But it does come out that, yeah, she was married because before the shit went down.
Because there was a bond that she had with the kid that, because I remember there'd be like,
oh, wait,
creepy.
But don't spoil it.
No, I'm not. No, but there were some instances where I remember seeing back, and I haven't kept up too much with that. I've been watching a few new episodes only because I figured maybe it ain't too bad to skip that whole season. But I remember her kind of having this, you know, obviously, and this is how I am too, no matter how creepy or whatever I am, when it comes to kids, fucking love them, you gotta protect them. And so I'm not too sure if that was part of the backstory as to why she misses and why she kind of, you know, protects them the way she does.
Yeah, they really explain it well, because that is one thing I will have to give to them, because they had some interesting characters, and, you know, different people have certain quirks about them, if you will. And they've been doing a very good job of explaining the backstory. And then once it comes out, it's like, oh, yeah, that's why they're like that. Like, oh, I get it now. I get that character even more now. So, but my second dedication from the same show to the lovely. Motherfucking gorgeous. Motherfucking goddess that she is.
I think you're gonna pick her. Don't do it.
Motherfucking. Look at your screen. Maggie. Motherfucking Lauren Cohen. Goddamn. Yes. Is she a snow goddess? Yo, with them green eyes. Yo. Oh. Oh, I love her.
Praise. Praise goes to the white woman from Philly. Shouts out to Philly. And this shit, Philly.
All praise. Yo, and I'll just say this, yo. Yeah, I chase her down in a zombie apocalypse, try to find her.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. You know? Yo, saying,
I'd make sure she's safe in the Church of Aquarius. You know, I'm just saying. My wife needs a wife, so I'm just saying. Lord.
I will kill that fucking chink that seems to be her bae, her boo. I will shit on this bitch. Kill him.
So, those are my first two dedications, and I shall pass it over to Popo.
Oh, gosh. Well, in the realm of Weditas, and I'm hoping you could bring up a screen share so you can look her up. And I'm not too sure if I used her as a dedication yet or not. But either which way, a bitch so fine, she deserves to be burned twice. You know what I'm saying? Whether that's her being given an STD, she was cured of that, and then it's time again. And mind you, this is in the sanctity of Weditas, and actually the reason what Maggie Cohen reminds me of is this bitch. And she was better known, I guess, for the Twilight series. Have I ever brought up Ashley Green? Ashley Green.
So.
Type it in ASHLEY, and then Green with the E at the end. GREENE. Please screen share. Show the folks. She was so beautiful because she had a dyke haircut on in the later episodes of the Twilight thing. So right there, she's a long hair. Her with her short hair, man, yo. Oh, God, yo. So this, to me, is who that Maggie Culkin from The Walking Dead kind of reminds me of. Look at that hair though. It looks like I just cummed all over it. She's like, you know what, fuck it, Papo, you don't gotta clean it off. I'm gonna just, you know, flick the tips.
Save image as. Hold on. Okay, alright, go ahead.
I mean, you took Maggie Cohen, so I don't know which one's the poor man version. Either which way, they both got it, since we would be so lucky, you know, if that were to be the case. But yeah, man, that bitch. Again, because it feels so good.
So good, yes, sir.
So yeah.
And
so, wait, what? What you going? You coming tomorrow? Or you going to let me get it in again?
Oh no, you got another one?
Yeah. Well,
okay. Do you?
Come on, man. All right. So
skeet.
I ain't greedy at all. But since you went to, so obviously we have to share it with Ita because that's just only right.
Wait, real quick. Shouts out to our Philly correspondent who doesn't watch Walking Dead, but he knows that Michonne is a totally repopulation material. And he also said, never front on the melanin. Sorry, Papo, but Ita's ain't got the survival skills.
Yo, you know what? And I'll say this. Just like British Bulldogs, which I will say are the cutest of all fucking dogs, they don't last very long. But they will last about... what, 10 years?
Like, I'm not trying to keep a bitch. I just want a nice abuelito around for a little while.
Yo, and to have around for 10 years is fine, because I'm pretty sure she'd age quite terribly, because no one aged like sisters age, or just brothers in general. Yeah, y'all was given that skin, and y'all, whatever the fuck. Anyways, abuelitas. Fuck y'all, abuelitas. Ain't it about surviving, cuz it's about enjoying the time. But, Because God could take us out tomorrow if need be. If I can have my one night, I'm good.
One night. That's all I need.
Fucking all of a sudden, I don't know why that Jennifer Lopez song, Something About Tonight. Something. But anyways, back to being a bitches. In the essence of, because you know, you brought it to your race. And I guess in relevance. And I've been wanting to watch this movie too. It just came out this weekend. Big Hero 6. Which apparently was a graphic novel for Marvel. It's pretty much looks like some fucking inflatable toy robot. Anyways, there's a bitch in there who plays Honey Lemon. I haven't seen it. It looks badass. It looks awesome. It looks really hilarious and heartfelt, probably. There's a girl in there named Genesis Rodriguez. Genesis, like I'm guessing the Bible, the beginning of time. Genesis.
It might be like the video game system.
Rodriguez. I forget. I don't know. But yeah, Genesis Rodriguez. Pretty sure we can all spell Rodriguez, Rodriguez. Can we please, can you screen share for the folks that are watching?
Yeah, let me.
If you don't mind, come on now. Get on the ball, son.
On, let me.
Just again, Genesis Rodriguez, or I guess Genesis Rodriguez Perez. But
her
heavy DC just says, and she's one of those, she can play all types of bitches. And I remember she was on a movie with fucking T.I.
Oh my god, hold up.
She played the main bitch on Casa de Mi Padre.
Oh my god.
I mean,
I'm just doing that because people who watch this live, it's voice activated. So as Popo talks, every time I say, oh, her picture pops up on the screen. So yeah, just ignore me.
I mean, she's commercially appealing. Do it for the fact that she's in a movie that I want to watch. She's apparently of my race. Apparently I'm Mexican. All these apparently's. But yeah, she's been in a slew of films.
I'm just saying, with a name like Genesis, if we were in the zombie apocalypse, I would take it as a sign of God that we need to impregnate this woman, because Genesis and the Bible and the start, beginning. Like, God might be saying that this is Eve. So if the zombie apocalypse
only
goes down tomorrow, Genesis Rodriguez, come join the Church of Aquarius. We will take care of you, and we will make sure that your bloodline lives on. That's all I'm saying.
I will feed you grapes, and I have other hosts that make us crepes.
It might have some Mexican, down this bloodline. It might be, a little black over in this bloodline. It might be some Philly correspondent black over on this. I'm just saying that we're just going to make sure that the bloodline continues on. So,
yeah.
Genesis, Church of Aquarius. That's all I'm saying.
Holler.
All I'm saying.
Holler.
Holler. Now. Oh, do you have another one? Or?
Well, I got to see what you bust out with on this last one.
No, I think this one knocks out the park, though. For those who don't know, or who haven't, anybody who's new to this, we don't give a fuck, really, with the when it comes to, like, formats and, like, what you're supposed to do and, like, rules and laws. I like to consider us, if we were podcast and pro wrestlers, we would be what the pro wrestling industry calls outlaws. We kind of do our own thing. You know, we don't really follow a certain pattern or trend.
Mm-hmm.
And my Nets dedication, which I like to screen share, is probably going to get us pulled off of YouTube, but I don't care. I want to bring this up because Keira Knightley done the world by having a photo shoot. She got tired of America and paparazzi and all kinds of different people photoshopping her.
Oh, God.
And she was like, I'm tired of the photoshopping. And so she posed topless in a beautiful new photo spread for interview. And she graces one of Sid's covers, and each was shot by a different pair of photographers. And shouts out to Kara, who's part of the itty bitty titty committee.
Oh my God.
But that is so a gorgeous cute picture of her. Not safe for work, ladies and gentlemen. We'll keep it moving. And Yeah, she just had some gorgeous screenshots. And the other five covers are Nicole Kidman, Naomi Campbell, Amber Valletta, Leah Seydoux, and Dierra, whatever. But shouts out to motherfucker.
Let me tell you something.
Ow!
Since seeing, and I have the movie, was it Atonement? I've been wanting to see The Little Things.
Oh.
Can we share her?
Yo,
can
what
we, can,
was can, her?
Can we both
yes.
Push Please don't
of
be greedy.
Course.
Can we? All right. Yeah.
Of course. When you join the Church of Aquarius, it's all about sharing.
Okay. But yeah, Keira Knightley.
Yo, she was in a movie with Ashton Kutcher?
What?
The Ashton Kutcher? I'm trying to think what movie. No Strings Attached, right?
No, wait, that was her? No, it wasn't. Well, Ashton Kutcher was fucking... Oh, no, I'm thinking... you know what? You maybe, because I'm thinking Justin Timberlake...
Yeah, that's when I fell in love with her. Yeah. Wait, yeah. No, that's Natalie Portman.
Yes,
wait, what was she...
I was going to say, because Natalie Portman is kind of like a poor man's version of Keira Knightley, and if I can add on to that, weren't they both the princesses on or whatever the fuck on the Star Wars films? Wasn't one person her double? Or some shit? Or am I tripping?
Oh, I have no... Oh, yeah, it does say she was in Star Wars.
Back in episode one, it was like... I think Keira Knightley was her double, or Portman was a double of hers. It was some shit like that. But yeah.
Oh, there's a ton. Wait, I'm trying to think, because am I getting her mixed up with somebody else then?
No. Well, then if that's the case, I was. Come on, now.
Wait, I'm scrolling through her movies. I've seen none of these. Hold up. I am getting her mixed up. But anyway, shouts out to her from the Itty Bitty Titty Committee, and we're going to go ahead and both share her.
Yes. This night. Oh, gosh.
Yeah, she is a star. I've seen none of these movies. I didn't see Pirates of the Caribbean. I didn't see Star Wars. Blah, blah, blah.
Wars.
Yeah, that shit. Bend It Like Beckham.
She was a minute. How about she
Pride and Prejudice, Begin Again. I've seen... Oh, wait. Most Popular. Well, let me do this. Fuck Most Popular. I'm just trying to see, like, what have I seen?
IMBD that bitch.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking... I'm flipping through her... I've seen not a damn one of these movies. King Arthur, Love Actually, Oliver Twist, New Year's Eve.
Boy, that was a fucking total cookie-cutter fucking film.
Yo, so my dedication is purely off of the fact that she showed her itty bitty titties, because I have not seen a single movie of hers.
You see, listeners, I love her bitches, and I know them. I know my bitches.
I was getting her mixed up with Natalie Portman.
Either which way. Fucking
Either
we'll,
which
we'll,
way.
We'll throw Natalie Portman, and then we'll use the Star Wars pictures of them.
Yes, Natalie Portman. We'll throw her on there, too, since
not
I thought you was the one showing
either.
You titties.
Mm-mm.
So that's how it goes with me, you know. Hey.
It's so funny because both of these, from your dedications to mine, they both had not only their doppelgangers, but they also have their equivalent counterparts, because there's both, you know what I'm saying, Hungry Man and fucking Luxury Versions, which Knightley, my nigga. Megan Cohen.
My nigga. So, yeah, so they all shall live forever as we have sacrificed them and dedicated them to the gods. So, yes, sir.
Yeah. I think that was all right.
I think that's all right.
But,
I think on that note, once again, our email is ibhmpodcast@gmail.com. Questions, comments, articles, anything you want to share, you can send it over there. You can also fucking hit us up, facebook.com/ibhmpodcast. Find us on YouTube, ibhmpodcast. Find us on Podomatic, ibhmpodcast. Find us on Tumblr, ibhmpodcast, in the appropriate spot. And yeah, subscribe to the show, Stitcher, iTunes, Podomatic. You can search I'm Black, He's Mexican, or make it simple. Just head over to ibhmpodcast.com website and find all of those links
there. Bang, bang, bang.
Yes, sir.
It's all there.
All there. One stop shop, yo. That's how we do it. So once again, I'm Black, He's Mexican. And if you didn't like this podcast, what might they be, Papa?
You some type of have my mail-in ballot, but I'm gonna leave it next to the weed ashtray, moon shoes wearing, fairy flailing. Judge me by my poetry under my mattress and porno magazines. Ass motherfucking
racist.
Racist.
Ain't
no good.
Until next time, what are we going to ride out to?
We're going to ride out to Mr. Bus Driver's Ego Death featuring A$AP Rock and Sir Danny Brown.
And the song. And all I got to say is Miley Cyrus texts me. I'm trying to holler at you private so I could get at them private. That's all I'm saying.
That's the direct quote.
Whoa!
Need some other shit. Bang, bang. No?
Yeah, I know what I'm saying, but is it sexier than torture?
Yeah, Los Angeles. London, the cellulite late in fight of the night. Yeah. Oh, shoot. Let me see if I can finish this. Okay, let's go. Yeah.
We can make this better. We can make this better.
Yeah. Oh, shoot. Let's get him.
We can make this better.
Hellfire, let's go. Yeah. Under the sun, I laid in thigh of the night. I slip miniature mantras between my cries and cries. Sugar flavored crystals and the red, blue, and white stripes. While crowds will never zap me like the price is right. And downtime is never met with an overjoyed grin. Cause sleep and death have always been conjoined twins. You'd rather lick the wet gills of pop art than your cement fill the pock marks. The withering tendrils from my rot heart reach for a bandage. Like it was a lost ark. Cause my average day is for the body legions and prosody sieges. We cry to these seniors living aside of splodgy Adidas, serving consecutive sentences. My corrective lenses is ruby quartz. Yeah, my vision ain't worth the jiggling of booty wart. Circumstances trap writers like Kathy Bates. Other redeemed colorized happy face. Silver carbon covered in candy paint. A silver nanny steak and fits a diamond rash. A pangolin on a cyber cast. Questioning news items, playing patty cake with hourglass. The fact that this pony show's racist, thirsty colloquial cake mix, the charges the homeostasis of all the homies who await us like we some smoking Joe Frazier's, but my unchecked whining's like some ceremonial play shift.
We can make this better or not, yes we will. We're just looking for something inside us to kill. We can make this better or not, yes we will. We're just looking for something inside us to kill. We can make this better or not, yes we will. We just looking for something that's honest to kill. We can make this better.
Hey, before long, oil the bones. A little celery chop, a little pepper, little milk of the poppy, little posse in effect. Analog, mono, poly, man-o-war. Walloping the auto poly and avatar. Mind on his Malamars. Money on the iron lung. Clumsy with the can of worms. Usher you behind the sun. He shoots, he whores. Truly stupid troubadours and elders. Stock the shelter with freeholies and blueberry New York seltzers. Roll up and up a diddle like a doofus. Hit the corner like the devil is a cubist. I'm ruthless. The sigil is a dog with a cone. Feeling foolish. Seven hells calling all foreseeable futures. Be it obtained culprit. Crippling migraine and strange stomach. Or a stray bullet through his gray mullet. I am Ivy up the goddamn lattice. March to the math rock. Roar no cartoon mascot. The Mario pajama bottoms clumsily repelling. Under a gibbous moon. Hunting for shitty food. Gunning. Too tough. Embedded in bad magic. Duck boy shit is quacktastic.
We can make this better or not. Yes, we will. We're just looking for something that's honest to kill. We can make this better or not. Yes, we will. We're just looking for something that's honest to kill.
I'm not doing it.
We can make this better or not. Shy. Yes, we will. We're just looking for something that's honest to kill.
Rap Marilyn Manson, but as hot as a ranson. With two hoodies on the beach, with two bitches grunt dancing. Rappers, quit your advancing. Last man standing, large heads so hard. You ricochet off a planet like a motherfucking ivory. Tell Miley Cyrus next. I'll highlight you with price. I'm trying to get them price. Punch don't start, take her like Kano. Remember when I told you niggas drink all the Drano?
Through a window with some swordplay blinds. Back on that shit, guess what this time? Step a snake of dynamite where the sun don't shine.
Any nigga disrespecting, chain check him till he's slinky neck. Blowing dope, eyes low and chinky like a man in French. Condo to extension. that's the margin. Damn. Any nigga wanna start it? Stop. I fucked and banked your bar and I were arson. I'm the fire star, the prodigy, I'm at the arms. Smack my bitch up and I'm out with my dick. And it's not domestic violent cause she likes that shit. There's no sentence to describe it, homie. Except she sucked it like her fucking life depended on it.